Welcome to the Agent of Wealth podcast with Mark Boutis from Boutis Financial. In this podcast, Mark helps guide you towards financial freedom, ensure you never run out of money, and create a balance in life that prioritizes what is most important to you. Join us for this journey as Mark draws from years of expertise and guest experts to solve the multiple wealth-building challenges involved in your financial life.
Welcome back to The Agent of Wealth. This is your host, Mark Boutis. Today, I'm joined by a special guest, Michael Aries. Michael is an experienced advisor in the field of precious metals, having traded gold and silver for almost 25 years. In 2010, he embarked on his professional career with McIlvany Precious Metals, a family-owned business with a 50-year legacy in the industry, where he currently manages 1,500 clients. Renowned for their unwavering integrity, time-tested strategy, and personalized service, McIlvany represents the pinnacle of excellence among precious metal firms. Michael, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Mark. Appreciate you having me here.
I guess before we even dive in, can you just give us a quick high-level explanation of what precious metals are? What are the types of them for our listeners who may not be familiar with them?
Yeah, gold and silver are the main precious metals. That's really an ideal alternative asset to have for protecting wealth. We can look at platinum and palladium as precious metals as well, but really to a very small degree. I would say gold and silver are the monetary metals. They're your inflation hedge, and they're really the store of wealth that has been around as long as human history. Going back to Genesis in the Bible on up till now, there's always been gold. It's been limited in supply. It's been used as money. And whatever nation or currency has ever come and gone throughout history, you know, Roman Empire, Ottoman Empire, whatever, we go back to gold, and then until we find something else we trust, gold is that store of wealth that is always there. So even in today's technological age, it's still there.
Yeah. So definitely want to touch on that, in today's investing. But I think whenever someone, an investor considers an alternative asset like precious metals, they always want to ask that question of why. You mentioned inflation. You mentioned it's been around a long time. What are some of the other benefits or reasons why someone would want to consider precious metals into their portfolio?
Yeah, good question. I would say, we want to define gold as money. Money has to be a store of value. It has to maintain its purchasing power over time. The dollar doesn't do that. If you have a dollar bill in your wallet, you might say, oh, I've got money in my wallet. But it's not money. It's a currency. A currency you can trade for goods and services. But a currency, the faster you spend it, the better. If you want to have savings, if you want to put money away from the future, gold is that form of money where it can maintain its purchasing power over the long term. So if you need it to store that wealth for a long time, or you just need to store any wealth for a long time, gold maintains that. So yeah, that's part of the inflation hedge aspect as well. But I guess gold is tangible. It's a tangible form of money that has intrinsic value in and of itself. And that's one of the big things too. You can use the fancy term and say it doesn't have counterparty risk. A piece of gold, it takes a lot of time and energy and oil and manpower to get that out of the ground and make it into something. And so all of that value is built into it. You can't just go grow it on a tree. You can't just go grab it out in a field. It takes a lot of work to get it. So either you pay a lot of currency to obtain that gold, or you have to go dig it out of the ground yourself. So there's a lot of value built into an ounce of gold. And when you have it in your hand, that's it. You have that value. You're not depending on someone else to keep a promise in order for some investment or some form of currency to have value.
You mentioned you can either have it or you have to dig it out of the ground. And if we look at the price of gold over time, it's up, it's increased. Why does the price of gold go up? Is it just the law of supply and demand? Like if you compare it to, let's say, a company, right? A company might be generating cash flow or they're earning profits. How does that correlate to gold and why the price of gold goes up?
Yeah, good question, Mark. I think there's a paradigm where supply and demand comes into play. But more so with the price of gold going up, I really think it has to do with devaluation of our currency. So when our dollar gets printed out of thin air by the Federal Reserve to the tune of tens of trillions of dollars, there's more currency out there. Prices go up. We see the price of goods of everything go up. You would think that you could print money and just make everyone rich, but it doesn't work that way. When something is scarce, it is valuable. When something is abundant, it's not valuable. So the more we make our currency abundant, the less valuable it becomes. And everything else that is scarce, you know, requires more of that currency to buy it. So gold is scarce. It's limited in supply. If we print a ton of money, it goes up in dollar terms because it takes more of that currency to buy it. So you could almost look at it as gold has stayed still. Gold has stayed flat. Gold has stayed the same. And the dollar has gone down. And so the price of gold going up is just a reflection of the dollar actually going down that much in purchasing power.
Now, we're talking a lot about gold and silver. What's the difference between the two in terms of, like, you know, an investment purpose? One thing I'd heard is that, like, silver is used in different things, and there's more utility in silver versus gold, which doesn't have that much. I mean, it's obviously popular for jewelry. But why would one consider one versus the other, or should someone look at both?
We do want to have both. They fulfill a lot of the same purposes, but they also have very different pros and cons and advantages. And part of what we do at McIlvany Precious Metals is have a good strategy for how much gold and how much silver to own over time and change that when appropriate for different reasons. So the main thing is gold is a store of value. For the most part, it is just hoarded and held by central banks, held by people, or used in jewelry and just used as a form of wealth. Very little of it is used for industrial purposes. Even though it's one of the best conductors of electricity, it's just so expensive. You don't see that used as much. Silver, on the other hand, it is a precious metal like gold, where it's limited in supply, it's valuable, people hoard it as money. But that's probably only half of the use. And the other half is industrial use, where it is used in electronics and various other applications. And the interesting thing with silver is there is no substitute for it. Mark, you can't say, well, silver is getting too expensive, we're going to use this other metal instead in our cell phones and our TVs and our computers for now until silver comes down. There's no substitute. So silver is used in electronics, in solar panels, in electric vehicles, in so many applications. And that's all used up. That's all consumed. And it makes the supply of silver less and less and less. So gold is hoarded as wealth. Silver is as well, but it's also being consumed. And when we look at the disparity between the two, there's a lot of gold out there, and it's all still there. All the gold we've mined, you know, throughout human history, gold from ancient Egypt till now, is still out there in some form or fashion. A lot of the silver, most of the silver we've mined has been used up to the point that it's not recoverable. It's, you know, in all these electronics and various places, to where at these prices, it's not recoverable. If prices go much, much higher to make it worthwhile, we might be able to go and get some of that silver back. But for right now, there's very little silver out there, very little to go around. And that adds to the dynamic of it, where it's more volatile, it has bigger swings in price up and down. There's just a lot less of it to go around. And when we can benefit from that to the upside, I think that's what's coming next for precious metals, is gold going up, silver going up even more and outperforming gold for a time.
Are they still mining silver, or is it kind of trying to reuse some of the silver? And I guess same question for gold too. Is there a lot of gold mining that's still going on as well?
There's still gold mining going on, but we're finding less and less in the ground every year. There hasn't been any major gold discoveries for a couple of decades. You know, it used to be that there would be a, you know, major tens of millions of ounce gold discovery like once per decade, and smaller ones multiple times per decade. And recently we haven't been getting that. We haven't been finding any more big discoveries. So we're pulling less and less out of the ground, and silver especially. We're pulling less and less out of the ground the last 10 years. So it's becoming more and more scarce. We're having to recycle what we can and what we can get our hands on. But the more that investor demand piles into coins and bars and starts hoarding that, then really, again, the less there's going to be to go around. And the supply and demand dynamics right now, the small amount of supply that there is versus the amount of demand and the amount of potential demand that's coming from currency devaluation, I think could drive the price up multiple times for precious metals, you know, double to triple for gold and maybe five times for silver pretty easily in the coming years.
You talked a little bit about inflation, about currency devaluation. What are some of the other, like, macroeconomic factors that go into price movements of gold and silver? Is it like interest rates or geopolitical tensions, or are there other ones as well that come into play?
all of those things are drivers for gold as well. So chaos and uncertainty in the world, that can be a big driver. When we don't know where the markets are heading, or when we think the markets are heading down because of Federal Reserve policy, gold and silver become a safe haven asset. They become the thing that actually does go up when other markets go down. Or if there's greater conflict in the Middle East or war somewhere else around the world, and there's uncertainty and there's supply shortages, and oh man, we don't know how this is going to work out or how bad the world's going to get. That chaos factor drives people to gold and silver as a safe haven asset. Because again, it's always there. It always has value. It's real money. It's not tied to someone else or some company hopefully performing well. It just is what it is. So that chaos and uncertainty we're seeing in the world, and especially with the way it is in the Middle East right now. Like, you've got such a powder keg there. It could be just one rocket hitting the wrong ship in the Red Sea and everything goes crazy and starts a much greater conflict. The geopolitical tension drives it up. And then with the Federal Reserve, usually when interest rates are low, gold is more in demand. As they raise interest rates, there's less demand for gold theoretically because it doesn't produce anything and you can earn interest elsewhere. But I think what we're seeing at this point is there are much greater factors between inflation and geopolitical uncertainty that even if the Fed keeps raising rates, I think that's going to be a drag on other markets and money is going to move into gold and silver for safety and for liquidity.
Yeah, I could see that. When you're at McIlvaney working with an investor, and I know obviously every investor is different, but is the strategy a lot of times, or do you see most investors who, you know, determine what percentage of their portfolio to put into precious metals and that's what they go with and that's what they stay with? Or is it more the allocation to it more actively managed, dependent upon some of those macroeconomic things that we just discussed?
Yeah. I'm glad you bring up that point. That's one of the differentiating factors with McIlvaney Precious Metals is our strategic outlook on the metals, changing our portfolio mix over time and helping our clients take advantage of that. So when we talked about silver being more volatile, it does have times where it outperforms gold to the upside. And if they're both coming down, it will underperform and fall further to the downside than gold will. And that creates this disparity in relationship that we can take advantage of. On either side, we can trade one metal for more ounces of the other metal. If silver outperforms, we'll trade some silver for extra free gold. And if gold outperforms, we'll trade our gold back into silver and get extra silver. So part of our strategy is, yes, first and foremost, how much do you want to put into precious metals of your portfolio? So there'll be a certain amount that folks will do. You know, it may be 10, 20, 30%. Some folks, they don't trust the dollar. They don't trust the government. They want to have a good portion of their wealth in something real and tangible. But whatever someone lands on, they've got this amount where they don't have to worry about it. They can sleep well at night. It doesn't go away, go to zero. And then within that precious metals portfolio that they have, that's part of their greater portfolio, then we'll adjust the mix over time. Sometimes, like right now, we'll be heavier silver, maybe even 60 or 70% in silver, so that we can take advantage of what looks to be silver's outperformance coming next in the cycle. And then trade some of that for gold when we hit the right inflection point and we see, you know, the cycle over time and where it's hit certain high and low points. We'll let our clients know, hey, let's trade part of our silver back into gold. You're going to get this many free ounces of gold because silver has outperformed to such and such extent. And then we might be heavier gold and lighter silver for a time. So yeah, we'll have the foundation and we'll adjust it back and forth whenever we can gain free ounces. And then ultimately maybe scale back on our metals if they peak out and hit the end of this bull market that they're in. And there's other ratios we can look at, like the Dow to gold ratio, and see when it's at an extreme low or at an extreme high and whether we should be, you know, buying gold or selling gold.
What are the different ways to buy gold and silver? Like, can someone actually buy an actual like gold bar or silver bar and store it? And you can also probably buy some kind of security that tracks the price of gold. What other ways can you buy it?
So mainly what we do at McIlvaney is physical precious metals, Mark, because we want to own it. We want to have full control over it. Part of the insurance aspect, the wealth preservation aspect of it is owning the gold, not owning a security that is tied to the price of gold, where again, there's counterparty risk, but just owning the gold. So we will deal in physical coins and bars and either ship them to folks or store them at a depository, or people can buy them through an IRA. You can do a precious metals IRA. They're stored at a depository in that case when it's part of a retirement account, but it's still physical metals that you own. There's still coins and bars that are part of that retirement account that you own. So yeah, actual metals, some people take delivery and keep them at home because they want to know they can get their hands on that form of wealth. Other folks will store it at a depository if they're not comfortable doing that, but it'll be held in trust in their name. It's not used for anything else. They're just paying a storage fee to have it kept there. So it's, you know, full physical ownership of that gold and silver.
Do you see people also that want the exposure to gold or silver, but also would want maybe a cash flow? Are there ways to invest, you know, in a company that where they can get exposure to gold, but also maybe a dividend or some kind of cash payment?
That's generally not our main focus when it comes to precious metals. So I have seen companies and programs out there where you can, you know, loan out your metals and it can be used in industry and they'll pay a percentage back. And it's usually a small percentage, like 2 or 3%. But the way I look at it, we're not looking at, you know, return or earning interest on our metals. I think it will be a growth asset because it has a lot of catch up to do to the amount of money we've printed. I don't think it's near its fair value yet. So I think it will go up in price and it will look like a growth asset. But the main reason to buy it is insurance for your money, or even just to have real money and not a devaluing currency as part of your savings. So it's mainly just to have something real and something that's going to maintain its value. Other things can earn you interest or earn you cash flow. What's interesting is if you have real estate, well, that earns you cash flow and people appreciate that and like that. But precious metals are such a good complement because it's a tangible asset like real estate, but it's liquid and portable. So get your cash flow from something like real estate. That's great. With precious metals, you can sell it any day of the week for cash immediately. Can't always do that with real estate. And you can put it in your pocket and run away with it if you had to go somewhere else and you can't take your rental property with you. So there's really a complementary aspect to it.
You, I guess, bring up a good point about the liquidity aspect of it. What's the process for selling it?
There is always a market for it. There are lots of dealers and coin shops that buy and sell precious metals. So for our company, we buy and sell, we make a market. You can ship stuff back to us insured and we can always buy it back. So you're always able to liquidate that gold coin or silver coin. But any number of dealers or coin shops you find in your area, you can always take it. It's just a matter of what price you get. Sometimes we pay a better price because we're moving more product and a small coin shop might not pay as much. Someone's always welcome to check with me on price and see what we can do. But there's always a market for it and there's always someone that'll buy it. You can always find a local coin shop, send it to us, send it to some other dealer. It's just a matter of getting that gold bar in the hands of someone that'll buy it back. There is always someone that will buy it at the current market price, and it's easy to get rid of and get cash for. And I think the other thing that's interesting too is that it really is tradable as is. It's a form of money. It has intrinsic value. So people come to me and they'll ask, well, you know, what's the best coin or whatever to barter with? They think maybe the grid might go down, the dollar might go away. I think that's a little extreme. I don't know if we'll get there. It's possible, but not probable. But people still want to know, can I spend my gold? Can I do something with it? Or if there's nothing else, you know, what's the best one to use? Well, and you can. I mean, I've even in this day and age with our modern technology and with everything working, I've still traded precious metals for goods and services. You know, I've traded gold coins in partial payment for a truck I bought. And I've traded silver bars for a house inspection service that I had done because, you know, I talked to the guy and he was into precious metals as well. And he let me give him silver instead of cash for his service. So it is still usable and tradable as money for someone that knows what it is and finds it valuable.
What do you see the popularity of digital currencies like Bitcoin, which may be unfairly, but it's been called digital gold? How do you see that impacting, or what do you see going forward for gold?
I still see gold going up despite Bitcoin. I've seen, I think, very brief seasons or periods of time in the last number of years where it seems like money has gone from gold to Bitcoin just in sort of the hype and part of that phase. But I don't think Bitcoin has affected gold. Gold has gone from $200 to $2,000 an ounce in the last 20 years. And even in the last few years has doubled in price and is now breaking out currently above previous highs and starting a new run to just brand new territory. So I think there's a place for both. I don't know that I would call Bitcoin digital gold. Gold is gold, and it has its role. It has its place. It's tangible. You don't want to not have it. You don't want to replace it with something else, because nothing does what gold does. But I'm not necessarily going to say only one or the other. If someone wants to buy Bitcoin, I think there's a place for that as being a digital currency, or trading it for profit or speculating in it. You just have to be very careful, because it has had a lot more volatility than gold and silver has. You know, it had a 60% crash from its peak. So it's something you have to understand and be trading properly or holding for the right reasons. But it's still something to have for its particular uses, but not as a replacement for gold necessarily.
Yeah, well, Michael, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for joining me on today's episode. I appreciate you sharing your expertise in precious metals and all the information you shared on the topic today. Before we go, how best can listeners contact you if they have any questions or find more about what McIlvaney does with precious metals?
Yeah. And thank you so much for having me, Mark. It's been great. Really, folks are welcome to call me directly, call or text me. My phone number is 970-459-4611. And again, it's area code 970-459-4611. Again, my name's Michael. Call or text. And I love helping folks one-on-one, advising, helping them tailor a strategy to their goals and just navigate the precious metals market so you don't have to try to pick and choose what to buy or how to do it. I'm here to help do that.
Great. We'll link to that in the resources section of the show notes. Thanks again, Michael, and thank you to everyone who tuned in today. Don't forget to follow the Agent of Wealth on the platform you listen from and leave us a review of the show. We're currently accepting new clients, and if you'd like to schedule a one-on-one consultation with our advisors, please do so at boutisfinancial.com/call.
Thank you for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered represents the views and opinions of the guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Boutis Financial. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial planning and investment advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investments and financial planning.